Welcome to the broadcast of Riverside Church in Princeton, North Carolina. Riverside Church preaching Christ and Him crucified. For more information, check out our website at www.riversidefwb.com.
Brother David, Brother Dave.
Thank you. Thank y'all for having me tonight. I'm glad to be here. I thank God for this opportunity. And I thank y'all for the opportunity to try to share His Word. I've had a difficult time trying to put together what I thought was going to be God letting me off easy. Today is for those that are into numbers, like the third Wednesday and David Miller the third and stuff like that, for people that are into that kind of thing, today, 8 years ago, I shared a post on Facebook today that reminded me that 8 years ago today, I was at a predominantly black church over in Kenansville preaching the Word of God. It was on a Sunday night, 8 years ago. And then today, tonight, 8 years later, 50 miles away, God had a different appointment for me. Who knows where I'll be in 8 years from now? Hopefully heaven. But the other thing that's kind of peculiar about today for me is God laid it on my heart to preach a message that was my very first message I ever preached in my life. That message was entitled, What is Love? And I thought this was going to be a real simple thing. But I found out over these last, that was on June the 27th of 2010. Over these last some over 13 years, I found out a couple of things. Love is still real. God is still love. But I had to come off the milk. I had to get into the meat of some things. And I found out that I really didn't even know what love was. I had to learn. I have to learn today. I have to continue to learn what love really is. It's because it's a growing thing. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I love You. I thank You for this opportunity, Lord, to be here. I thank You for the many blessings in my life through the past 13 years, God, the past 64 years, God. I thank You for all the blessings that has put me here tonight. God, You took care of me back when I didn't even know how to take care of myself. And I still don't. Nothing like You do, Lord. I don't know how to take care of me the way that You can. But God, I pray tonight that You move David out of the way. And let's worry about him tonight, God. I pray that You come in here and take over and give Your word to Your people tonight, God. Just move me right on over, Lord. I want You to take control. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Make me so full of You that there's none of me left, God. I want to deliver Your word to Your people tonight in this congregation, Lord. Lead me and guide me. Give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, God. Give me speech of clarity, God, that I can give Your word with the power and authority from You. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail You. Hold me up here tonight, God. Let me be what You would have me to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I'm going to start off tonight in Colossians chapter 4. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures from there. It's going to be verses 1 through 6. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye have also a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With the praying also for us, that God would open us up unto a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make a manifest as I ought to speak, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you might know how ye ought to answer every man. See, that scripture right there was the beginning scripture of my message 13 years ago. And when I read that scripture, God says, You got to be seasoned with salt by now. So he told me, he said, take your notes and do away with them. And I said, God, I don't think I can do that. He said, write these scriptures down and I'm going to guide you through these scriptures. You use these scriptures and I'm going to tell you what to say as you do these. I've never in my life done that before. Never. But tonight, God said, do it, so I'm going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen here tonight, y'all. I got my only notes now are the scriptures that God gave me. So we're going to go through these scriptures, and whatever you get other than these words that are written will be from God Himself, because everything I had is gone now. I just threw me away. Oh, that's out of here. It's over with. It's time to move over to 1 Corinthians. And I know where y'all think I'm going, to chapter 13. But I'm not. I am, but not right now. I'm going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to go through verses 1 through 5 there. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I come to you, came not with excellency of speech. See, I done already proved it right there. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. And see, I threw my notes away and I even forgot that was the opening verse, and it's right here. But this is from God, y'all. Understand that. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And I still am right now in that very condition, in weakness and fear and very much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. If anybody has to shout tonight, it'll be all right, because the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is here right now. His power is with us tonight, church. If you need anything, seek Him as you're sitting there. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. What is love? That's the question for tonight. Now we're going to go to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to read you several verses there, and then I'm going to read them to you again, because I want you to understand them real well. Verse number 1 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. The word charity here can be substituted with the word love. And I'm going to read you another version in a few minutes that includes the word love rather than charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own, and not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. See, right in there is where my notes went. I was a mere child in Christ when I wrote that sermon the first time. But tonight, I'm going to give you whatever God gives me. And we're going to go to another version over here in the Bible, and I'm going to read you that same chapter again, and I'm going to use what it says in it. And this is the NIV version, if you're interested. It's chapter 13, also 1 Corinthians. It says, "And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak of the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." What is love? Love is something we absolutely, positively got to have. We cannot serve Jesus Christ without love. It's impossible. "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." I could die for you. I could even try to go to hell for you. But if I did and I didn't love you, I would have nothing. I would not gain anything. Love is patient. That's a pill about the size of this building. It's really hard to swallow, y'all. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Not even when your friend, you call him on the phone and he won't call you back. And you so desperately need to talk to him. Or you text somebody and they don't return your text. And you're getting all huffy and puffy like the world owes you something. It's not love. But tell you what is when you don't get that call back and you know something's wrong where they would have called you, you get on your knees and you take it to God. You talk to Him. And you say, "Lord, I don't know what their problem is. You know what mine is. I just saw that. Help me, God. Deliver me from evil and deliver them from whatever is holding them up. Because something is wrong, God. Bless them. Touch them. Bring them to you. Put an angel in between them and the devil. Don't let him get to them, God. Bless them and keep them safe." That's love. Don't get envious. Don't get mad. "It is not easily angered." See, I knew that wasn't love, and that's how I knew it wasn't love, because I was easily angered. I wanted that phone call. Call me back. Talk to me. I'm important. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. And the truth is, as God showed me the error of my way. And I hope He always does. Because I should not be upset with my brothers and sisters over nothing. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects. Always trusts. Always hopes. And always preserves. Love never fails. Not once has it ever failed. Not once will it ever fail. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. We're going to forget things. We're not going to remember to do things. The knowledge which we so greatly depend on to get us through is going to slip away. But love never will. Love is the foundation of creation itself. God is love. "For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, The imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put my childish ways behind me. From 13 years ago to today, that's what I am trying to do, is put my childish ways behind me. The simple things that I preached 13 years ago to, not today, but 13 years ago when I preached this same message, they're still relevant. It still ain't love to sit around drinking cold beers when you know your family needs things. That ain't love. See, that's what I preached about back then. A whole lot of things that ain't love was what I was preaching about. Even though the title of the sermon was "What Is Love," I was showing people what love is not. But tonight, I'm trying to discuss with you what love is. Love is a many wonderful thing. My mama used to say, if you'd ask her what is love, she would simply tell you it was something sent from heaven to worry the hell out of you. And you want to know what? I see that definition in love. Because God worried all that hell out of me over the past 13 years. He got rid of all that. And He showed me what real love was. And He will show you what real love is too. You see, His Word gives us all kinds of promises. God loves you just like you are His child. Do you know why? Because you are His child. Those of you that have children, you know what that's like. You would do anything in the world for your child. And God owns the world and all creation, and will do anything in that for you. Anything. Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 6. And start with verse 25. Verse 25 of Matthew says, chapter 6 says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" This is Jesus Christ speaking. He loves you enough to tell you to take no thought for your very life. He's got you. That's love. Do you love Him enough to believe that? Do you love Jesus enough to believe what He tells you? Because if you do, you need to take no thought for your life. Because He's going to take care of it. He already has. He's already seen everything that's ever going to happen. It's right in front of Him. It's already all behind Him. He's in charge. "Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Are you not more important to God than a bird that's flying around out here in the yard? Are you not more important to Him than that?" He loves you. Do you love Him? Do you really love Him enough to trust Him? "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto your stature?" Unto their stature. His stature. None of us can. "And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The lilies of the field are more beautiful than anything that Solomon with all his many riches could even afford. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? O ye of little faith. Love is believing in his word. Love is trusting in Jesus with all your heart. Not a little corner of it. Not a little piece of it. But trust him with everything you have and everything you are. And it's hard, I know. I've been through it the past week. I've been fighting it. Wide open. Fell down this morning. Falling all down there in the chicken coop. All on the ground. Poor, poor, pitiful me. Got to say, get up and shut up and get ready. Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And those of y'all that know me, you know I'm kind of a prepper type person. Verses like this are kind of hard to swallow sometimes. But they're really not. Because see, God only not gives me his promise that I won't have to worry. He also gave me sense enough to prepare. You see. And those go hand in hand. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you to the things that you need to do. Because he knows what the future is. I don't. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And let me tell you something. I might prepare and I might prep. And I may one day run out of food myself. But if I do, I'm not worried about it. I'm going to go right down there to that creek and I'm going to wait for God to send one of them ravens down there to feed me. He did in Bible times. He's the same God today. I'm not worried about it. I do what he tells me to do. I try to use the knowledge that he gave me and the understanding that he gave me to prepare. But I don't depend on that. I depend on him because I'll give everything I have to the poor if that's what he tells me to do. All of it. Because he's going to look out for me. I know that. Because he loves me. You see, because that's what love is. It's when you will give your life for somebody. That's what love is. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. See, that's where that planning and preparing comes in. He told me right here that if I would seek him first, then he would give me all these things I need. And he has. I've never been lacking anything. I've been unemployed for 3 years before. And when I say unemployed, I'm talking about zero income. I ain't talking about on unemployment for 3 years. I'm talking about I had zero income for 3 years. Y'all, I never even had a late cell phone bill. And I had a home phone too at the time. And internet. And God took care of it all because I didn't. God will supply your needs. He promised us that. In his word, he promised that he will do that for us. Psalms 30:5 says, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. But joy cometh in the morning. Do you understand what he's telling us? He's telling us to lean on him. To trust him. And see, I had a situation this week. I had a friend of mine message me and wanted to go to Judgment House. And I point blank told him I couldn't, that I was busy, that it would have to be 2 or 3 weeks from now. I was helping my daughter and her husband work on a building there in their yard. And I had to decline the invite. And I hated it because I kind of wanted to go. It ended up. Now let me show you how God works things out. It ended up the early afternoon. We got done with all we could do. We were done with everything we could do in the building. He had to go get some more stuff. And it was a project that at that point that couldn't happen that afternoon. While this closing down was going on, I got another text from another friend. And let me tell y'all something about what love is. Love is when you care about your brothers and your sisters. Love is when you see them on Facebook making mistakes. You get on there and type all this stuff about, you shouldn't be doing that. That ain't love. Love is when you get back on your knees again and you pray and you give it to the God of creation and you say, Lord, these people are making a mistake. Can you fix it? Will you fix it? I know you can, but will you? These people mean something to me. I don't want to see them destroy their lives. These people in a month's time had gone from being friends on Facebook to in a relationship to engaged. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Somebody's cooking up disaster, because that's certainly a recipe for disaster. And I prayed, and I gave it to God. But joy cometh in the morning. You see, I got a text, and they said, I got two tickets, two reservations for Judgment House tonight. I had somebody supposed to go with me, and they got sick. I'd really appreciate it if you could go with me, because I don't want to go by myself. I said, wow. I just told one person I can't go. And they're actually my friend. I've never even really met you in person before. And God said, go chasing sinners, boy. That's what you need to do. And so I text back and said, what time is your reservation? And they told me, and I said, so how do you want to do this? You want me to pick you up? You want to meet at my house? I live in Goldsboro. You want to meet somewhere else? What do you want to do? And they said, I'll go to your house. So we went there, and we went to Judgment House that evening. But the joy don't come till in the morning, you see. But I went. And we went through the Judgment House. And it wasn't the best one I've ever seen, but it was all right. But it's the best one I've ever been to. Because when we all gathered up in that room at the end, and everybody had their eyes closed, and at the end they got them people to stand up. My friend was standing up. She recommitted her life to God that night. The joy came the next morning when she put a post on Facebook that she had rededicated her life to Jesus Christ. That's love, my friends. Don't talk about your friends on Facebook. Pray for them. They need your prayers. When you see your friends making mistakes, get on your knees and take it to God. That's love. That's what love is. Now in Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to his power that worketh in us. See, when Jesus comes to us and tells us to do something, it's his power that's going to do the work. It won't me. I'm too scared to do stuff like that. I don't know how to talk to people. I especially don't know how to talk to women. But God knows how to leave the 99 and find that one that he's been chasing. And he knows who to put out there. This time, I was fortunate. I listened to him. I did what he said. And now I'll get to walk the streets of gold with my sister one day. It's according to the power that worketh in us. The power of Jesus. That's love. He gives you the power to accomplish His will. Are you willing to use it? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm standing up here tonight. I was hurting so bad when I walked through the door. I wasn't even sure I could stand up here. But God wanted me to deliver this message. You see, that 8 years ago, in that church in Kenansville, was on a Sunday night. The Wednesday night prior to that is when I had a motorcycle crash. I could barely stand that night either. But God can hold you up. God can stand right behind you and keep you standing. Through that, through anything, motorcycle crashes. That's what love is. That's what love is. Philippians 4:19 tells us, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Not through your stockpiles. Not through your sidearms. But according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's love. He will supply all your need. All of it. You can come to Him as an emotional wreck. Which some of y'all have seen that happen to me. But God can fix that. It takes 3 or 4 days sometimes. But He can fix that too. When you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to turn, I can tell you which way to turn. Turn down. Turn it down. Right down on your knees. Talk to Him. Let Him love you. He does. Just let Him love you. That's what love is. When you love Him enough to turn to Him and to put your trust in Him and to give it all to Him. Even though it looks like there's no way out or there's no way in. Whichever the case is. Give it to God. Let Him love you through it. That's love. And Romans 8:28 says it very, very plainly. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Has God called you tonight? Has He called you to serve Him? Are you the one He left the 99 for and came and found? If He calls you according to His purpose, guess what He's going to do? He's going to work everything together for your good. When you're going through divorce, you're going through flat tires, and you're wading through water up to your waist, those things don't seem too good at the time. When you're laying on the pavement with your bike laying on top of you, it seems like He might have forgot that promise. But He didn't. He didn't forget that. He told me that all things would work together for my good. Because see, I love God. And I'm called according to His purpose. John 15:13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The picture of love started when Jesus Christ hung on that tree. That's love, people. That's what love is. That a man lay down his life for his friends. Y'all are my friends. I lay down hours of my time to bring this to you tonight. I went through sleepless nights for a week battling with Jesus Christ over what I was going to say and how I was going to say it. Even though He'd already told me to use that. And then just told me to throw it away. Same message. Different words. God loves you. Do you love Him? Do you love Him enough to trust His Word? He's not going to lie to you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. If somebody came through that door, there was a time when church shooting was going on and all that, and that's one of the reasons I sit in the back row. Because if somebody comes in that door to harm one of y'all, I'm going to do my best to stop them. And guess what? If I can't, I'm going to get in front of them. I love you enough to die for you. But I can't love you enough to get you into heaven. Only Jesus. Nothing else. Jesus and Jesus alone. He's the only one who can get you there. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I love you. I thank you for this time here with your people tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you bless each and every one of them for taking time out of their schedules to come down here and see this message being presented tonight, God. I know I messed it all up, Lord. But I tried to do what you asked me to do, God. I thank you. I appreciate everything you've brought me through, God. Please deliver me from the problems that I'm having, God. Be with this congregation. Lead us and guide us all through it all, God. Be with us. Keep us safe from harm and free of pain, Lord, until we meet again. In the name of Jesus, my Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen.